Today's program has been brought to you by 360 Cookware. Their stainless steel cookware uses vapor technology to cook better tasting, more nutritional food. To learn more and receive 20% off, click their logo on our website, heritageradionetwork.org. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
It is 3 p.m. on Thursday, and that means it's time to meet your maker. This is the show where you do exactly that. I am your host, Rachel Wharton. I'm joined by my co-host, John Taggart. And our guests today make one thing, but they make it very well. They are Tony Fragiogiannis and Bill Mulholland, the founders of the Brooklyn Hot Dog Company, which is BKHDCO for short. For long short. You guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So it's a fairly new business, right?
Very new.
So because hot dogs are very difficult to make. For those of you who've ever listened to me interview anyone who makes charcuterie, I'm kind of mildly obsessed with them because I think they're like this humble food that actually requires, you know, art and precision to make. So how did you come to make hot dogs? How did that become your passion obsession?
Well, we really like hot dogs. So we were just sitting around one day and wanted to come up with something cool to do.
So start by telling me what you guys both did for a living before. Well, you probably still do it for a living, I imagine. But
I own Mulholland's in Williamsburg, sports bar. I went to the French Culinary Institute. That's how I got into charcuterie and stuff. So it was natural progression to just keep playing around in the kitchen, and hot dogs were fun and hard at the same time.
And what about you, Tony?
So I was in Atlanta. I'm from here, but I was in Atlanta, and I had a restaurant and also a nightclub down there. But I've always been into food, and me and Billy were talking about a bunch of stuff and what to do, and we came up with this idea, and I moved back to New York and sold everything and decided to...
The idea was to make hot dogs before you... You sold everything before you'd even started making them.
Yes.
You sold the nightclub?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. What kind of nightclub was it?
Like dance club, music and drinking.
In Atlanta, right?
In Atlanta. Yeah.
There's like a big nightclub scene there. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Was it? So you had never had you made a hot dog when you made this decision?
No, never.
You had maybe in.
You know what? I only made sausage, and I was like, "How much different could it be?"
So
and
what?
I was really wrong.
Okay, so tell me about the first time you tried, or like had the process to even begin to make one.
Oh, it was a mess. It was a mess. It was
a meat paste mess.
Meat paste mess.
Right, because that's what a hot dog is, right?
Yeah, it's ground meat, and then you got to process it and make it into a paste form, and then you case it, smoke it, and cook it up.
So tell me a little, what was your very first step? Do you remember the very first thing that you did or tried or where you were?
What was the very first thing?
I guess we were at Mulholland's and we were grinding meat.
Yeah, we didn't have a smoker, so we started off by poaching them first, and, The first batch of them was it was remotely close to tasting like a hot dog, but it was exciting enough where you're like, oh wow, this is there's something going on here, but it wasn't anywhere near what we have right now.
So what do you use as a casing at that point? Because a hot dog, is it made with a normal intestine like you would use for regular charcuterie?
It's a natural sheep casing. Yeah,
we've always used them from the beginning.
You have to get skinny ones or something.
Yeah, they come in different sizes, and there's pork casings, which are a little bit thicker.
Now, what hot dog were you trying to model off of?
Like, did you have a nice snap? This is because you used the
snap was something that we've always, been determined to get it right. Mm-hmm. And that's what was a big challenge coming up from the beginning. But we just tried a bunch of recipes.
I think that was the most important thing, the snap. There was nothing out there that could compete with the snap that we wanted.
Yeah, I noticed that snap.
They were good.
Yeah, you can't get that in a butcher shop.
No,
yes, even fancy ones. So, I guess John was asking because I think it like vaguely resembles the soubrettes in its skinniness and length. Right.
There's a ton of puns, going around and what was all the time.
We were trying to. We were sampling your hot dogs the other day.
We'll use all of those by the end of this 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, we were thinking maybe we should have a soubrette to. taste next to it, you know, just to see like the snappiness and like the texture and everything. But we didn't do it, so we were just
not
like,
yet. You know, we got yet. Plenty of hot dogs left to try.
We do.
Yeah. Ours, we're proud to say, ours are a little bigger than Sabret's, but they're also Sabret's always has you know nitrates and they do. Okay, those
yours
like
are
that.
Nitrate. So that's also because that what we associate with the flavor of a hot dog is off is partially like the same with bacon, right? That's the flavor profile we're used to.
Yeah. I mean the flavors are fairly similar with hot dogs, especially cased hot dogs with smoke and everything. But ours are nitrate free. They're all natural. There's no fillers, no artificial ingredients, no coloring, nothing like that.
So how long ago was this when you were grinding meat in the back of Mulholland's?
About a year ago.
Yeah. And so how long did it take to get to what you're packaging today?
We started selling our first batch in June, and that was just one flavor. We had all five flavors around September.
And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but do you have to like to make a hot dog? You have to kind of keep it chilled, right?
Always.
So that's way more advanced than a normal like making salami or other kinds of salumi. So how did you do that the first time?
I don't think we did correctly.
first time was
lots of balls in the freezer, very quickly moving.
Did you ever doubt your plan?
I don't know. I personally have had confidence in us. There's been times where there have been difficult instances in making this, but
you eat a few raw hot dogs, it crosses your head to be like, this is stupid. But
so June was when you first started making them, and how many are you producing these days?
We probably go through, I would say, about 1,000 packs a month.
1,000 packs a month. And you're still running the bar full time. Is this your full-time gig?
No,
now?
we're both full-time at this now.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So 1,000 packs of, did you say a month or a week?
A month.
A month. That's, and so where, and you're, so where do you find them here in New York City?
In Manhattan, we're in Dean and DeLuca, Agaton Valentina, Eli's,
Westside Market.
Yeah. Westside Market. In Brooklyn, we're in Brooklyn Fair, Gourmet Guild, and here in Williamsburg, we're at Green Grape, Park Slope Food Co-op. So we're in a few places around.
You have to do, are you just the two of you do everything, which means you're the guys knocking on doors and selling it and sending samples and fielding reporter questions and
everything.
On and on.
Yeah. Everything.
And still making them. Now someone does it for you?
Yeah, we've got a processor now that, after we finalized recipes, we have a processor that we scouted out. We tried a bunch of different processes, and he takes care of it now.
So who does your Instagramming?
We do all that.
So Tony does all that.
So you're the guy that I found on Instagram. There
absolutely.
We go.
Yep. All right. It worked out good.
See, social networking does work.
Yeah, totally. Yes. What was I going to? So how you're selling $1,000, 1,000 packs a month. How long? So is, what was I going to ask? How long does that take to make?
It could be done in three days, four days. I mean, we try to keep small batches to keep a rotation going constantly. So we're putting in orders about every week.
And what goes into? Am I allowed to ask? Like how the sausage gets made? Like what actually goes into? So say you have four. How many different flavors?
Five.
So your classic comes in two varieties, right? I can't remember what the one.
An
is.
All beef and a beef and pork.
Right. Okay, so what's in the all beef? Like what part of the cow is in there?
It's basically just all natural chuck.
Chuck. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Where do you source from particular places or?
Aldifer Farms and
Aldifer.
Yeah, it's in Pennsylvania.
Did you go visit them?
We have not visited them
yet.
That'd
be kind of cool.
It would be a good little field trip.
Yeah, that'd be some nice Instagramming. So you get do you
good
have
checking.
Yes. Yeah. Actually that's true. That's checking in like in distant. I like to check in whenever I travel to Europe or like some far flung place.
That's
pretty
show
awesome.
Off.
No, exactly. Like, hey, I'm at the McDonald's in the airport in London. Sucker. So what was I going to ask? Do you have expansion plans or like what's your dream for the Brooklyn Hot Dog Company?
I think eventually to get an actual location where we can top them the way we want and maybe do some more flavors and stuff. Yeah.
What do you do at the bar right now?
Right now we just do the buffalo chicken and the beef and pork.
So what kind of roll are you guys using?
Right now, we're using Martin's potato bun
rolls. Those are awesome. Those are are the perfect
Maybe
rolls.
Maybe they're even made near where you're...
Yeah, they're made in Hanover, PA, right?
Near
where
the cows are.
I mean, that's a good company, man.
Yeah.
Oh, so the beef is... That's so people... It's not kosher, though.
It's not kosher.
But it's people. Some people are used to that all beef flavor profile.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of non-pork eaters out there. So.
That's true. I was recently somewhere where someone... I was surprised. He was saying that you know, like 50% of his customers say they don't eat pork for a random variety of reasons. I was surprised. It seems like bacon and pigs in general.
So what do your regulars in Mulholland's think about the dogs?
I think they like them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Your overall impression is awesome?
Yeah, I think so. I think I get a lot of people who are just friends. They're like, oh, I'm going to get them because of you. But then I think at the end, they actually
they're
really
good.
Like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first time we tried them, we put all four in a boiling pot, which I'm going to ask about in a second, is your preferred method of cookery. But I tried the beef and the pork beef mixture without actually knowing which was which. And my hunch was that this is the first time I tried them. That my initial hunch was that the pork and beef was juicier. Was I totally wrong?
I think you went the other way around.
There's more fat? Was it fat or?
I think that the beef and pork have more of a snap.
Okay.
And then the all beef are just juicier.
Really? Interesting. Okay, that means I like the beef better. I have to go back and double test this. That's totally surprising. Are they fairly similar to make, or do you have to, because you're using two different cuts of meat, is it a totally different thing?
The seasonings are exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Yeah. Which is mustard.
So they're very similar in taste.
Where was the first, when you first looked up a hot dog recipe, what was it in?
Charcuterie.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
I think that's on the shelf right behind us, actually.
It should be. Yeah. It's awesome.
I have to look up, I should pull that out in the break and read how you're actually supposed to do that ice slurry at home. Slurry. There's slurries and pastes involved. I think anything can technically be a hot dog as long as it's in a paste, right? It doesn't
it has
have to
be
meat.
Emulsified.
Yeah.
That's it. Emulsification.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the, and so the other, so how did you, you also do the pepperoni and the buffalo?
Yeah. Pepperoni, buffalo, and a gyro.
Why, that's the one I didn't, the latter is the last. So why did you choose those flavors?
You know what? I don't, what are you doing?
I think the buffalo chicken was definitely the first adventurous one.
Uh-huh.
And I think we were just playing around with the wings at Mulholland's, and we're like, we should make a hot dog like this.
Right.
And that's how it started.
Serve it with blue cheese. Do you do that?
Diced up celery.
Oh,
and
man.
Hot sauce
that's
on top.
That's celery.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's like a chicken wing and a bun.
Yes, yes. That sounds like something you said before.
It's a snappy wing.
That's what you call it? A snappy wing.
We call it double dog dairy.
Easier to eat. Less mess because of the bun.
Yeah.
So... What are the three you serve at Mulholland's right now?
Two. We do the beef and pork with chili and cheese on it. And then we do the buffalo chicken dog like that with blue cheese dressing, chopped up celery, and hot sauce.
Do you make the chili there too?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Make it awesome.
Have you always had food there?
Yeah. Yeah. Since it was Mulholland's, we've had food.
So did you have a hot dog on the menu before?
No, we didn't. No.
Wow. So how much do they cost you at Mulholland's?
Do they cost me?
No. How much does a hot dog cost
you? Well, for
you,
I could take care of you.
No, that would never happen.
I think it's $7.
Oh, $7? With the
condiments. Two dogs and I think tater tots come with it.
Wait, that's for $7?
Yeah.
That's a damn good deal. Do you make the tater tots?
Yes.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, now I have to ask. We have 2 minutes left before the break, but tell me quickly how you make a tater tot.
Boil potatoes,
uh-huh.
and then we put them to the food processor, like pulse them,
uh-huh.
and then we push them back together with a little flour and egg, and then fry them.
Are they normal tater tot size?
Yeah, they look exactly like a regular tater tot.
Wait, how do you, is there like a little mold?
We roll it like a...
Oh, like gnocchi.
Big snake, and exactly.
I think after the hot dog takes off, you gotta make tater tots.
Yeah, well, yes.
Oh my God, I love that's like one of my... That, Cheez-Its, and Kraft macaroni and cheese are like the guilty...
The
drunk food
guilt.
Writer. No, I don't even need to be drunk. Yeah, honestly. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with more of the Brooklyn Hot Dog Company. This is Meet Your Maker on heritageradionetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today. Today's program has been brought to you by AmeriCraft. AmeriCraft and 360 Cookware are proud sponsors of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. AmeriCraft is an American company, and like Heritage Radio Network, they provide the best. Their 360 Cookware is made of the highest quality ingredients, like United States steel. It is made in the greenest cookware manufacturing plant in the world. AmeriCraft makes great cookware and is focused on improvement. 360 Cookware is their exclusive line. It's a contemporary line of cookware and bakeware intended to let you, the Heritage Radio Network listeners, have a unique cooking experience. Its vapor seal allows food to be cooked in its natural juices, preserving all of the vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients without added water, oils, or fats. 360 Cookware invites you to learn more about how this process works on their website, www.360cookware.com. Every Wednesday at noon, Dorothy Cann Hamilton, founder and CEO of the International Culinary Center, interviews the top chefs in the world on Chef Story. Hear from chefs like Christina Tosi.
I'm going to be the best pastry cook this restaurant's ever seen.
Francis Malman.
Cooking with fire, it's very feminine, it's very fragile.
And Jacques Pepin.
I was invited to work at the White House for John Kennedy.
Learn how the greats become great every Wednesday at 12 p.m. on Chef Story. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Meet Your Maker. Today we are talking to Tony and Bill, the owners of the Brooklyn Hot Dog Company. Before the break, you were describing the amazing tater tots at Mulholland's, but also how one of your goals is to actually maybe have a place where you serve them as they were meant to be dressed, topped, and laid out on the plate. So I was curious, are you going to try and do something in between? Are you going to go to like one of the many outdoor markets here in New York City, like Smorgasburg or anything like that?
We've definitely thought about it and looked into it, and we just need to get organized enough to get going from that to that point. We're really working on distribution right now.
Uh-huh.
So as soon
Which
as
is actually you driving things around, right?
That's what it is right now.
So working on distribution means that, yeah. So that's actually, when you say that, you're literally working on distribution.
Well, yeah, we're working on actually getting some distributors to kind of take some of this responsibility so we can kind of think about the markets and Smorgasburg and...
Oh, hey, you're potentially going to be available you're available in Foragers in Dumbo here in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Don't they also have a distribution arm? Because they work with farms upstate. Or they even have one?
You know what?
You should ask them.
We'll definitely look into that.
They also work. Foragers is like, I should actually have. I did a short on them in New York One once, and they have. It's like this. They have this whole distribution arm because they get their neighbors upstate and bring down their stuff. So you could be on that truck.
Oh, very cool.
And then you could be at Smorgasburg, which would make me very happy. Because did you do some field research? Did you taste the Fancy Pants hot dogs around the city while you were starting?
Oh yeah, we've eaten hot dogs right everywhere you can possibly eat hot dogs.
I don't think that there's because of. I might be wrong, but out of all of the fancy food trucks and carts and stalls, is there even a hot dog one? Which is kind of amazing, right?
You know, there's a few hot dog ones, but they're used like Sabrettes,
right?
And they use the very generic stuff,
right? So the classic street food is this hot dog, and it's like the one thing that hasn't been represented.
Well,
it's like the
Mr. Softy Mafia and the Sabrette Mafia. They'd be going up against those guys.
That's why you need to be safely
we'll take
protected.
Them on. It's fine.
Yeah,
we're from Brooklyn. We're good.
Yes. But what was I going to? So tell me a little bit about. I mean, obviously, you probably have now made them a million times. So how do you usually prepare them?
Well, you know what? It's funny because the pepperoni was inspired by a. Chicago dog.
Uh-huh.
So we were thinking about a Chicago dog that has, you know, the celery salt and the cucumber and
the sport peppers, yeah, whatever those actually are,
the relish and whatnot. And we wanted to think a little bit outside the box. So we were like, well, what else is Chicago known for? And deep dish pizza. So we were thinking, what if we make a pepperoni dog and top it with marinara sauce and mozzarella cheese and make a pizza dog out of it? and that's what we ended up doing.
So you were really thinking of it back from the plate down. You were seeing it as this finished product. So before you made the pepperoni,
I think
dog.
That's how we always see them from the plate back.
Then you definitely need a place where you're perfecting them for people.
Yeah, definitely.
But so do you boil, fry, griddle, pan sear, a combination of both? What's your recommendation?
Pan. I go pan, a little bit of water, and then it kind of evaporates, and then it crisps up a little bit.
Wait, that's okay, so go. Let's go over that in slow-mo. Go over that again.
So a pan, maybe like a little bit of water, like just enough to cover the bottom, and throw the dog in there so it kind of steams and all the water's gone. And then
high heat, low heat?
High heat, okay. High heat.
Just so you take the quick. Water goes out and...
Yeah, then it just kind of crisps up a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Tony showed me.
Is that how you do it at the Mulholland's?
Oh, yeah.
So they don't float around in a big tub of water.
No, no.
What do you think of that?
You know, it's got to affect the snap a little bit. It's just sitting in, like, you know.
I mean, water. I love dirty water dogs.
Me too.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. They're great, but it's a different kind of.
Doesn't snap as much?
Yeah.
Doesn't take on the water eventually?
Like, does it take it more, on?
It must, right?
It does take on a little bit.
Because I remember this is such a different ball game with what's even available. Maybe 10 years ago, I did a best hot dog roundup for the Daily News. And my favorite hot dog was this truck that parks outside the cemetery in Woodside, Queens. And he had fat soubrettes that sat around in this dirty water bath. And I was like, this is my favorite hot dog. So I've always been a fan. Ever since then, I was like, I'm going to boil all my hot dogs. But I think I'm going to try this low water so they crisp up a bit. It's really
definitely.
Cool.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, because we just boiled them yesterday because we were just like, we got to try them now. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
then we ate six hot dogs.
Yeah, because it was like, we haven't even eaten yet. And you dropped them off like around, what, 2 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, and I had no idea you were coming. She said you were coming, and I was like, oh, my God. And so we got there, and we ate the hot dogs, and they were awesome.
When we first started making them, we were really concerned about, you know, the way people were going to make them, and we had a certain way that we liked them.
Uh-huh. Which is what you just described.
But we... You know, after transformation, you kind of figure out a way that you can kind of allow people to make them however they want them and still taste good.
Boiling wasn't that bad.
No, it was awesome.
It was awesome, but still at the same time, you know.
You can grill them. You can throw them straight on a barbecue. You can boil them. I mean, right. I know people that throw them in the microwave.
And the pepperoni and buffalo one.
I'm not going to lie. I throw them in the microwave.
What's that? The microwave? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You could griddle them and put butter on top as they cook.
We have a friend that likes to put them in the microwave till they like pretty much turn into jerky.
Yeah.
Is he from Jersey?
No, he's
isn't
not.
That the dog style in Jersey? All the rippers.
The rippers. Yeah.
Have you guys tried to send a pack to Anthony Bourdain?
Not yet.
He's a hot dog. He's a huge hot dog.
We gotta
fan.
Get him. We gotta get him into his hands.
Yeah, something else he said recently that we were talking early, and I was like, oh my God, Anthony Bourdain was just talking about that, but now I can't remember what it is anymore. But he's a fan of the dirty water dog for sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
at least
yeah.
he used to be.
Well, he's a Jersey guy, right?
Yeah. Yes. I'm trying to remember. Oh God, it'll come to me eventually.
Oh, it was that thing on where he drank the hot dog water.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So he goes to visit this journalist restaurant hangout
in Philadelphia
called the Pen and Pencil Club. And he, at the end, I don't know what they do, rock, paper, scissors. He's with Michael Salamala from Zahav in Philly. And Anthony Bourdain has to drink the whole thing of hot dog water. Yeah.
It was not a whole thing. It was a shot.
Yeah. Oh, but it was a big glass.
So wasn't so bad.
That's
but
not so bad.
But it was like, you
that's
know,
pretty,
it's
high.
Hot dog water from the Pen and Pencil Club, which is like an old dive bar that's only open to restaurant people and journalists. You know?
So that hot dog water has been there for 20 years.
Right.
They probably have Dietz and Watson.
Very well.
Dietz
right?
and Watson. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's got to be some nutrient dense
water.
Because
that's Philly's soubrette, Dietz and Watson, right?
I think so. Yeah. Soubrettes are made in the Bronx, right?
Yep.
Did you go visit?
Yes, we did, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
How was that?
That was actually really cool.
Yeah.
Did you tell them what you were doing?
Yeah.
And they were like, sure.
Yeah.
More hot dogs. I guess it is better.
It's like being on an episode of Unwrapped. It was crazy.
Nice. Yeah. Wait, so we'll explain why.
Their facility is just gigantic. They're just pushing out hot dogs, just meat paste everywhere. I mean, it's very clean. It's very, very clean.
They like sterilize and put on the whole suit and everything. Right. They have buckets that are like, I don't know, 6 feet by 6 feet.
Yeah.
Just full of meat.
Wait, so when you make yours, do they come out in a long, like the old-fashioned line, and then you cut them?
Yeah, there's a machine now that cuts them, but yeah, they do.
That's so cool. Could you buy them in like this? I want to buy them as the string. That'd be cool. And then there must be a machine that puts them in the pack. There's six.
Actually, right now they're packaged by hand.
Yeah. No, really?
Yeah.
So people, you slide them like a make it. How do you make them so? How do you like, have to like build
put them
a raft?
In a bag? Yeah, and then just seal the bag with
vacuum seal it.
That's pretty fat. It is really interesting when you talk to food businesses as they. I remember Rick's Picks, and I've seen him go through all these phases of production and like the different ways you have to tweak what you're doing when you get this next machine that helps you do that. Like he had to like trim and he had to top and tail his beans when he got to the point where it was in Whole Foods. But interestingly, one day you won't have to package the hot dogs by hand.
Still, though, people do like the personalization element of it, though.
You could put a little note in with every pack.
You could.
That'd be nice.
Nice little thank you.
Yes.
Thank you from Billy and Tony.
That wouldn't be terrible. They're really good. Oh, wait, I'm trying to I haven't, so what, okay, you described how you prefer the buffalo with celery. That sounds so good. And blue cheese. Pepperoni was with tomato sauce and cheese, right?
Yeah.
So the gyro gyro. You would tell me how to pronounce it correctly, I'm sure.
The gyro.
Gyro, yeah.
The traditional tzatziki sauce, onions, tomatoes.
Yum. Is that one pork too or lamb?
That's a pork and beef mixture.
Which is I think I learned this. This is actually more traditional.
More traditional.
I just
pork.
Learned this recently. And really come to this place in Astoria. It's in like an old little diner. Do you remember the name of it?
Are you talking about the Chilean hot dog?
No. Oh, my God. You guys have got to go.
Yeah, you actually liked that on my thing. I posted those photos of that Chilean hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
Queens.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know. You should sell them your hot dogs because that's probably their weakest link because they make the buns there with the sweet, yeasty Chilean bread. And they make – oh, my God. You have to buy them. Each hot dog comes on its own little footed tray, which is the way they serve them in Chile. So it's like – the hot dog elevated to it gets the gravitas it deserves.
That's awesome.
There, you gotta go check this. And they make this. They top them with pebre, which is like a cooked salsa, and guacamole. They're so good. But they need you. They should be using your dogs.
Yeah, definitely, because they're like kind of like the same size in a way. Where it just the hot dog just dominates the bun. And
at minimum, you need to order a million of those little. Hot dog pedestals.
Yeah,
they're the coolest thing ever.
They are cool. We'll show you a picture after the show.
Okay. You know? Yeah, for sure.
That's how you found him, right?
Yeah, you actually liked the Chilean hot dog, and I was like, oh my God! And then I found it. I was like, oh, this is great. You know,
what was I gonna say? Oh, and what's the place here that they're available in here in Williamsburg? What's the name of the
Gourmet Guild?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting place. Is it all Brooklyn or all New York? It's almost be New York because of the.
It's mostly Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's impressive.
They definitely source out a lot of the cool stuff that Brooklyn has to offer.
Can you eat them there?
I think they're about to put them on.
Working on it, yeah.
And then it'll be in like I don't know whose bun it'll be, but you'll be served with tin mustard. It'll be like the whole Brooklyn package. You guys need to be at Barclays.
That's something we're working on, kind of.
I wonder who... That would be an interesting place for your first
because
little
they have
store.
A hamburger joint, right? They don't have a hot dog joint.
Yeah, they have the Brooklyn Burgers.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Brooklyn Burgers.
I don't know anything about it either.
But because you know how they have... There's some real estate spots that are open all the time. Like, I think there's a mac and cheese place that's open.
The Elbow Room, yeah.
Yeah. So that would be... Because I live within walking distance, which is another reason why it would be awesome.
So you're not far from Brooklyn Fair.
Oh, yeah, but yes, but Barclays is even closer.
Yeah, we actually go to Green Grape and get your hot dogs.
Oh, Green Grape. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
They're cool.
They're great over there.
Do they ever try? They have their. They have like a Fleischer's trained butcher, right?
Yeah, they have a really good butcher there.
And I'm not sure if Fleischer's does their own dogs. I don't think they do.
No, they don't.
Meat Hook does.
Yeah. That's about it.
The competition. Yeah, because they're hard.
Well, those are more like you guys just do hot dogs. They do everything.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so they can't focus every hour of the hour on the hot dog.
Yes,
you
know? Which is what it takes.
Right.
These two men have been, that's what they do.
Our life is wieners.
Yes. Oh, man. So, okay. So we have about a minute left. So if you're listening here in New York City, let's go. Where can people find you again? Mulholland's obviously is the best place because you're topping you're preparing them and topping them the proper way. You can get them at a couple of supermarkets. People can't get them delivered yet, right?
Not yet. No. We're working on it though.
Yeah.
The ice pack.
And just send them a tweet. BK Hot Dog Co.
You need a Wienermobile.
Right?
Yes.
The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. That used to be the highlight of when I was in grade school when that would actually come to town. Yeah. You need one of those. like the fancy BK, the fancy BK HDCO version.
They have, they must have like more than 100 of those trucks.
No, there's just one. Don't, really? Don't destroy the myth, John. There's one, and it drives around the country. Right?
It's very special when you get to see it.
All right. Thanks. Okay, and website? What's your website?
BrooklynHotDogCompany.com.
All right. Yeah, like that needed to be said. But thank you guys so much for coming on the show. And if you are listening and you make something, be sure to contact us at heritageradionetwork.org to be on Meet Your Maker. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.